Hi, I'm Dan Bova from Entrepreneur.com. Today's bonus episode of How Success Happens is sponsored by the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Whether you're starting a business or have a groundbreaking idea, WEDC is here to support your success. Learn more at WEDC.org. So one of the most common questions we get from startup founders or people hoping to become startup founders revolves around funding. How do I get the capital I need to launch or grow my business? Well, today we're going to be speaking with two entrepreneurs who managed to do just that by pursuing an often overlooked path to fundraising, and that is applying for and winning grant money. Jessica Martin Eckerly, CEO and co-founder of Forward Biolabs, and Alex Tyink, co-founder of Fork Farms, both received awards from WEDC. So let's meet Jessica and Alex and find out how they went about winning those grants and get their advice to anyone out there looking for startup capital. All right, let's do it. Welcome, Jessica and Alex.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. Great to talk to you both. So before we jump into the nitty gritty, why don't we start by just getting a quick elevator pitch from both of you about what your business is. Jessica, let's start with you.
Sure. Forward Biolabs is a nonprofit, and we are focused on helping startups get up and off the ground really efficiently and effectively. And we do that by providing a co-working laboratory. And so we have very well-equipped and supported life sciences laboratory. And so that enables companies to bring in their first scientist or two, get a bench, bring their consumables, and utilize everything that we have in the facility to do their science, make some progress on product development and R&D. And that de-risking process enables them to bring in additional funding. And we hope for all of our startups that they fly the nest and we're just a pit stop on their way to their own independent facility.
Awesome. That's great. And Alex, how about you?
Sure. Fork Farms is a agriculture technology startup based in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We call ourselves food access technology because everything that we do is geared towards helping folks who, you know, wouldn't traditionally maybe see themselves being a farmer grow a substantial amount of fresh food right on site, whether that be at some kind of institution like a school or a hospital or a elder care facility or right in their own home to feed their family so that they don't have to go to the grocery store for certain products anymore or buy them off the shelf. And we're able to do that, believe it or not, more cost effectively and at higher quality than the conventional food system. And our goal as a company is to really help build healthier food distribution systems so that, you know, our kids and our kids' kids have availability of really high quality, fresh, affordable food.
Awesome. Awesome. So I'm curious, what drew you to apply for a grant and specifically at WEDC?
So like any founder, I spent a bunch of time fundraising. The fundraising for Forward Biolabs as a nonprofit isn't equity-based. It's more impact-based, the impact we could have on the startups. And WEDC, the work they do to help promote Wisconsin as the fantastic place that it is for startups, really understood the value that we would provide. And so they provided a grant to Forward Biolabs early on that helped us get started, helped us get some of the equipment and get our operations started so that we could then help other startups. And then they've also provided a grant for entrepreneur support that helps us provide some of the aspects of support that we do to entrepreneurs.
When you found out that you got the grant, what did that mean to you, for the business, but also just personally? Did you let out a woohoo? Like how did that go?
Yeah, we had a press conference. I mean, it was a big grant. It was one of the earliest investments into Forward Biolabs. And what it did was help bring others on. And I think that's one of the things that WEDC does is they see a lot of things and they're pretty good at picking things that can have impact and helping see them forward. And so I think like any grant, it helps provide funding for proof of concept that then can help bring on additional investors. And I think that's the biggest value of any grant is it can be a seed that helps bring others on.
Alex, you're nodding your head. Is that a similar feeling for you?
Yeah, just through a different lens. You know, obviously we're not a nonprofit, but similarly, we've had a similar kind of impact from WEDC. For us, it was on the equity side. In part, we've had kind of three major intersections with WEDC specifically on the grant side. So one is we were given the status of a qualified new business venture in the state of Wisconsin, which gives any investors that come in after we're designated that a state tax credit, a 25% state tax credit. So every dollar that they invest in our company, they get it 25 cents on their dollar. And so that really helped, especially our Series A round, where we raised, you know, a more substantial capital round, and that really helped us get that over the finish line. The other two were like a Main Street, they called it a Badger Bounce Back grant, and that was funding that we got to expand our fulfillment capabilities. So it actually helped us get funding for an expanded warehouse and a lot of the parts material that has to go into that. And so that's non-dilutive capital for us. And it was capital we don't have to pay back to the state. And really, they were just trying to bolster, you know, that logistics infrastructure in the state, which was huge for us. And the third one was a program called Export Tech, where they actually gave us a grant to learn how to export our products to other countries. And they actually gave us funding to send members of our team to Canada. And they coordinated all these meetings and really helped support us get into that market in a better way. And it's been working for us. So Canada is just the first stop for us. And they've got another one for, I think, Germany coming up that hopefully we'll be a part of. And it's helpful to get our footprint widened.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So you talk about the state. So Wisconsin, for those who aren't familiar or have never been, can you talk about the startup culture in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so we've got a great vibe for startups, and I'll give you some statistics. So I think often in Wisconsin, our culture is very much heads down, continue to work, and we don't often look up and out and talk about the work that we're doing. And that's been very true for us at 4Webs and a lot of our companies too. We're just not out there talking a lot about what we do. But we did recently pull together an impact report to kind of summarize the first 5 years that 4Biolabs has been around. We have helped over 45 companies, and those companies have amassed over $360 million in investments and in grants. Now that is not something to shake a stick at. Like,
Yeah.
we have a substantial number of fantastic startups working on all different sorts of problems, from health tech, ag tech, clean tech, and truthfully, like, we're just getting started. Like, we're just now 5 years into helping startups, and Alex is a great example. And I just want to point out, you were talking about Alex. I'm looking at your website, USA Today, Today, Times, New York Times, Brookings. I mean, you're all over. That is fantastic.
Thank you. No, I mean, and I would mirror that and say that, you know, it's incredible, and it's incredible how much it's grown over the last 10 years. I mean, since we started our company, I mean, Jessica's a great example, right, of how the ecosystem is growing and building, and the level of support that exists now that didn't exist 10 years ago. And having organizations like that are here to support the entrepreneurial ecosystem is crucial, and the speed at which that's growing right now. You know, another example is what one of our lead investors is Titletown Tech in Green Bay, you know, and that's another example of a group that, you know, they're bringing Microsoft and the Green Bay Packers involvement and these different groups that I think some people traditionally associate startups with the coasts, right? Where it's either you got to be in Silicon Valley or you got to be in New York City or Boston. And we're just learning that that's not true. You know, you have people who really care about what startups can do for the local economy here. And there's just a lot of investment that's been going into it, and a real network of people now that didn't exist that are doing the work to not just support startups, but Jessica's work too, to kind of bringing others in that are able to add value to the ecosystem as well.
And then you talk about direct investment. Titletown Tech is a great example of that's not in Madison or Milwaukee. It's up in Green Bay, also investing across a broad range of industries. But just 3 days ago, 4Biolabs actually hosted the governor in the announcement of the Wisconsin Investment Fund, $100 million straight into startups, venture capital.
Wow.
They picked five different firms, and the sixth will be announced shortly. Here, all direct investment into early stage companies. There's a portion of it that'll go to health tech or biohealth companies, and then the rest, I think it's like 27%, and the rest of that 100 million goes toward any industry. It
A
is a
really big
great
deal.
time to be an entrepreneur in Wisconsin, either as a founder from Wisconsin in Wisconsin or bringing your company to start from Wisconsin. And we've seen several examples of that as well, because rather than being a small fish in just a giant pond in Boston or San Francisco, what I'm hearing from people as they're evaluating where to put their company, it's a smaller pond, you're a bigger fish, the resources that are here are easier to access.
And
So.
also capital efficiency on top of that. I mean, for us, our revenue is 10 times the amount of investment capital we've brought in, and that's hard to find. And I think a real reason for that is because living expenses are so low in Wisconsin, and as a result, salaries don't have to be as high, and your investment dollar just goes that much further.
And actually, it's also on the business side. So we were just talking to a young company who's in the Boston area, and they're establishing a footprint here because what they're finding are the cost to do business here substantially lower, just as you'd expect. Now, there are advantages in other areas too, but we have a lot going on
It
here
seems
in
to be a
Wisconsin.
great place to pilot things, right? There's a lot of openness for innovation here, and there's a certain conservative mentality when it comes to risk that lends itself to people being willing to try something but wanting to kind of crawl, walk, run in some cases. And what we've learned is that's really advantageous, I think, to startups to be in a space where you can try things and fail forward fast. And then when things really prove themselves and you have the metrics behind what you're doing and you have partnerships that are established and working, people are really willing then to start to scale.
And I think the ideas that get funded, they're worthwhile. Like, there's not a lot of funny money floating around. People are looking for technologies and teams that really have the ability to make a difference, to move forward, they're investable.
That's great. And so Jessica and also Alex, and I'm wondering, specifically with Forward Biolabs, how do you encourage this kind of culture of collaboration between, all these different startups that are working under one roof?
That's a great question. So everything we do is focused around moving the startups forward and being there for them in whatever way they need. And primarily that's the lab safety. We are always safety focused. Any kind of resource they need, we go out and get it. If it's broke, we fix it. But the people aspect of what we do is almost what we hear is more important. And that means things like when you're a tiny company and you hire your first employee, those first employees are not out on an island anywhere. They are with other first employees together here in companies that are similar, even if they're in different industries. They've got similar challenges, long product development timelines, high capital needs. And they really appreciate that, both on the founder side and the C-suite, and also on the scientist and business team aspect. And then the other aspect of collaboration is people are working on similar things. We make introductions, who's working on similar equipment or similar science, similar industries. And so they have all these connection points right here to kind of learn from each other. And that's not even including the partners. So you have a question here, go talk to so and so. I look over pitch decks and talk to people about that. Introductions to investors. So it really runs the gamut when you think about the kinds of collaborations that we. The introductions we make and the collaborations that people have here. We've actually even had startups doing business with each other as an example of the kind of collaborations that people can have and
I
form
love
here.
that. Alex, you're nodding your head.
We've had the same experience just from the other side. We've been one of those startups that's had that level of support. And I would mirror it by saying that for us, the expertise resources and the human resources that we've been offered have had more value than the capital. And I don't want to discredit the value of capital, because obviously it's a key tool that you have to have in order for your company to be successful. But without the backstop of knowledge, especially as a first-time founder, people who have been there before, who have scaled companies and sold them over and over and over again, folks that have been in the venture capital industry for years and years, people who have been, working in the agriculture industry, or in Jessica's case, in the biotech space for a long time, and just know the pitfalls and the potholes to look out for. That saves you so much time. It saves you so much capital. And it really bolsters your success. And so if you can come into that with a humble, kind of consummate learner mentality, that seems to be the pattern that I've seen among the many founders in Wisconsin that are having a lot of success. They take this attitude where they're really they're there to solve a big problem in a novel way, and they're there to accept the help of the many people that really want them to be successful.
So you mentioned first-time founder. Looking at your bio, the two things popped out to me. You're a founder in farming, and two things in your bio: opera singer and Brooklyn. Those don't typically go hand in hand with farming. So can you give us a quick background on that?
Sure. Well, you can sing to the plants, Dan. I
Right.
mean,
Isn't there
that can
data?
help.
They do better when you sing to them.
Right.
Yeah,
Yeah,
right.
exactly. No, yeah, I mean, my background's weird, and I think a lot of founders have the same story, right? Where you don't necessarily go into the world of entrepreneurship thinking of yourself as an entrepreneur, but for me it was a labor of love and a passion. And this was just the way that it had to go to see that interest and passion come to life. So yeah, I thought I was going to become a world famous opera singer. I grew up in Wisconsin, but moved away for many years and figured I'd live in the big city my whole life, and just had a random opportunity in Brooklyn to visit a rooftop farm, which I just thought was a crazy idea. I'd never heard of anything like that before. People growing food in the middle of this big dirty city. And it was an oasis. It was a beautiful spot. And they were doing something really meaningful. It was a nonprofit, and they were growing all this food and feeding this food pantry that was on the first floor of the same building that they were growing it in. And I just thought, wow, what a cool microcosm ecosystem of just something wholesome and good that's happening. And I needed that at that time in my life. I really was getting a little dragged down by the big city life and what all that can feel like sometimes. They let me bring a bunch of the food home that I helped them grow,
How
and that
nice.
changed my eating habits, and it made me feel better. My mental health got in a much better spot, eating better. And I realized that it really can be that simple, where if you grow food, you're more likely to eat the food. And when you eat it, you feel better. And I view the work we're doing as healthcare too, in a way. I think it's just really upstream healthcare, and the food that we eat
Absolutely.
has a substantial impact on people's lives. And so I needed to figure out a way to bring this to the masses. And that took a lot of time and a lot of iteration and a lot of blood and sweat, but eventually kind of stumbled into this technology and realize that you can do it indoors, no sunlight, no soil, for commodity prices. And that's pretty disruptive if you think about how the food system works. And thought I was going to become the lettuce king of Brooklyn. And then I looked at real estate prices and I was like, well, maybe I'll be the lettuce king of Appleton. And one thing kind of led to the next. And here we are, not even growing and selling food. We're providing technology to others. So
That's
that
amazing.
is awesome.
I love that story. That's great. Jessica, can you top that?
We're not the lettuce king of anything, but that's funny. I sort of have the opposite story where I was working for a big international firm that did contract work, and I happened to be working on contract work for tiny startups that were on the coast. And they said, "Hey, you should come work for us or work for another startup on the coast." And I really like Wisconsin, so I went to work for a startup in town here that was based on technology developed at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Really just loved working for a tiny little company. Went to another organization also in bioscience, and we kept getting these requests from potential founders. Could we kind of cohabitate with your little company? And that's where the idea for Forward Biolabs started. So I've always been a huge fan of all the research done on campus here because it's just world-class science. And I think being able to get more of that out into companies where it can be scaled, it's just always been a passion of mine.
A lot of us, a lot of people listening, they might be on a similar journey to you, whether it's there's something that they know that they love or something they're discovering that they love. And, there's a lot we can do before we need to spend any money, but eventually, we need some funding. We need some capital to get us going. So, you guys were able to fundraise and win this grant. I'm wondering if you could give any advice for people who are embarking on that journey where, okay, I'm at the point where I need some capital to take this to the next level.
Yeah, for somebody just getting started, you're in a tough spot because there are a lot of good ideas out there. And I think that there's a lot of talented, passionate folks out there. And so it's not an easy place to be in. And I've you know, got a ton of appreciation for that. And it took us a while. First and foremost, there's a certain readiness and mentality that I think folks need to have getting into it, right? I mean, you have to go into it knowing it's not going to be easy. You have to go into it knowing it's going to be a slog. You're going to feel like a failure. You're going to feel like a fraud. And that's tough on its face, right? I mean, just the act of becoming an entrepreneur is this incredible leap of faith, but a worthwhile one, I think. And a lot of folks get into it and they, you know, they watch Shark Tank and they, you know, hear about, you know, some of the huge business stories, you know, they watch the Spotify documentary and stuff like that. And they think that's what it has to look like. It has to look like this rocket ship technology company and it's venture capital backed. And I have to go to Sequoia and the largest VCs out there to make this happen. And that is just absolutely not true. Mm-hmm. There are so many pathways to make a company successful. And I think that if you root yourself in the problem that you're trying to solve and you root yourself in the people that you're trying to help, that will innately lead you down the right capital path, in my opinion. And willing to be creative through that process is incredibly important. So there's a lot of non-dilutive capital out there. There are federal, state, local grants. We actually, before we even really started the company, we got some philanthropic funding to some different nonprofit partners that I had found to place our technology systems at different nonprofits that was no cost to us. It allowed us to field test the technology. It allowed us to get the technology out there before we even really took a dollar of investment capital. And that allowed us to be that much further ahead when we realized, hey, we really have something here and we need to figure out now how to take it to that more foundational scale. You know, obviously the WEDC grants played a huge role in us being able to make some strategic moves. And those are just a few examples. I mean, we raised family and friends capital, which I think you need to think really long and hard before you do.
Yeah.
But for us, it was critical. And you know, angel investing, I think for early stages, you know, there's a robust ecosystem for that in the state. And it's through both private individuals that have a high net worth, but it's also through a myriad of funds that exist of angels that are looking to make these types of investments. And, you know, there are folks like Jessica that know a lot of those people. And so sometimes it's just calling somebody and seeing if they're willing to help you. And that's how I would say we've had any level of success in fundraising, is really the act of networking and asking for advice and help. There's an old adage in fundraising where if you ask for money, you get advice. And if you ask for advice, you get money. And I think in some ways that's been true for us too.
That's great.
Alex, I think you brought up something interesting about Shark Tank, because what's really cool about Shark Tank is it's helped increase awareness about entrepreneurship and how that whole process works. But everything that's on Shark Tank is pretty well baked. Like they're all, you see products, you see people who have a pitch down pat. They've been working on this for years. And so when we talk here about early stage companies and the kind of companies we help here, they're very early stage. They're just getting their first grant, or they're working towards their first grant or their first injection of capital to do some of the initial work. And so it almost, you kind of just have to know that by the time you see things on Shark Tank, those are pretty well baked. People have been working on that stuff for a long time through doing the slog, as Alex referred to it as. Advice that I always give, and I know it's the same, similar to other entities, check out accelerators that are your industry specific. There, Madison has a couple different accelerator programs that are helpful for getting ready to pitch. And then networking, like Alex said. So we're a great place to start, especially in thinking about your budget. Because if you can be here, you're going to save lots of capital on signing a big lease. And that just does so much for that early budget. I mean, it can take it down from 2 million to 1 million. And that's really impactful when you're going to go try to raise on if you're a first time founder and you need a bunch of data to support your technology. So,
that's great. I mean, I personally have millions just laying around, so that wouldn't make an impact to me, but I can understand for other people. So, you know, getting into this sort of the unglamorous part of entrepreneurship, which you've both touched on, is, you know, it's a lot of work. It could be a slog. There's moments where things don't go your way, but then there are those things that do go your way. And, you know, we hear all the time about people saying you got to celebrate your wins. You got to be excited about what's going well. So I wonder from both of you, when's the last time you were like, Wow. Like where you step back and you were able to like get yourself out of the weeds of your business and just be like amazed by something that you had a hand in.
Yeah, I had that this week actually. And so for me, it was because I took a vacation last week with my family. We just got out of Dodge for the whole week, and being able to take a step back is so important, especially as the company keeps growing. I mean, as an entrepreneur, it's, and especially as a founder, you're the only person in the company that can really never turn it off. And it's not because you don't want to turn it off, it's because you just can't. It's so all consuming. You know, I'm
Yes,
thinking about it
Alex,
before.
it is so consuming.
It's all
Hard for people
consuming,
to understand,
right?
I think, how consuming it really is.
Because you get everything about you gets wrapped up in it, right? It's your personal passion, it's your own professional growth and development, it's your network of people, it's your family, it's just,
And
it impacts, yeah,
your
your whole
team
team,
that's counting
it
on you
impacts
and your
everything in your life.
customers.
Yeah, customers, exactly. And so, you know, learning how to put up healthy guardrails has been really important for me. And just stepping back last week, I came back and I was just in awe of the amount of growth that our team has experienced this year so far, and not just in headcount, but in the culture and in the amount of dedication and the focus and the strides that we've made in the market. I mean, it was just so awesome to take that step back and just be able to look at it from a fresh perspective. And I think for me, I mean, the big one was while I was out, I wasn't even in the office when it happened. We hit our milestone where we had our, like, it became another record month for us.
Oh, wow.
And what a cool thing to happen where you're not even in the office, you didn't
Yeah.
even see it happen, and the team just made it happen. And
That's
it,
awesome.
just a great thing to celebrate, right? And for so many reasons.
That's fantastic. I love all that. Jessica, how about you?
Our big kind of like see the forest for the trees moment was our 5-year anniversary in February. And it's literally the first time we kind of took a step back, thanked the founders, thanked our founding partnerships and all of our partners, because the lab got started and then COVID hit. And we managed, the lab was open every day through tons of effort, but
Wow.
all of that kind of delayed any kind of celebration that we could have. And so that was a really nice moment, and to have all the startups together, all of our partners, and to celebrate. And then another aspect of that was this week with that announcement of the fund, because it's just a testament to this ecosystem that's being built here, because it's not just for biolabs. There's Generator, which is a well-known accelerator and fund, Starting Block, and many other programs. And now to have this $100 million investment, or that fund that will invest in different startups, it's really fun to see the how far the ecosystem has come, and it really makes me excited for everything that's yet to come.
Well, thank you both for your time and your efforts and sharing all this amazing information. And I guess in the spirit of collaboration, anyone who's listening to this who wants to get in contact with you, ask you questions, join in the fight, what's the best way for people to kind of follow what you're up to?
A couple different things. So you can reach out direct through the 4Biolabs website. That's if you're a startup or any kind of potential partner, stakeholder, or just want to reach out and learn more. We respond within usually 24 hours to any kind of inquiry that we get. I would say also for anybody listening in, whether you're a startup or someone interested in the Wisconsin ecosystem, if you're a startup, go look. You can come to our website. We've got a bunch on there about that investment fund. It's not our fund, but it is definitely a fantastic brand new resource and direct investment, right? We know founders are following this podcast and we're talking about capital. There's a whole bunch of it available for new startups in Wisconsin right now. And then the other thing I would say is the big news, and I didn't really previously mention it, but it's definitely worth noting, is Wisconsin was recently designated by the EDA as a tech hub for biohealth. And so one of 30 cities across the US, only 30 out of hundreds of applicants, and we have the designation in biohealth. And it's because of this, the number of big industry players and startups we have in this specific area. And I look for more news to come on that, but that's another area of strength in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I would say the same. Reach out through the Fork Farms website. It's forkfarms.com. We've got real people that manage that stuff. And I would say, even if you're a founder or potential farmer, a founder, just thinking about it, I love giving people unsolicited advice. I got so much help early on and continue to get a lot of help. And even if I can point somebody in the direction of somebody like Jessica, depending on what the nature of their startup is, I love doing that kind of stuff because so many people did that for us. And obviously anybody interested in the work that we do, feeding people, and if you're interested in growing food and being a farmer, we love supporting people in that process as well. Likewise, I would tag into Jessica and just say that we also have a really strong manufacturing and agricultural ecosystem
Absolutely.
in the state as well. And so
Yes.
folks that are in the food tech, ag tech space, this is a ripe center as well. And we've got some incredible, we make all of our products in state, and we do it cost competitively with doing it in China. It's a pretty incredible
Yeah.
ecosystem out here.
Alex, that is a really good point because that's one of the things with the tech hub is the supply chain here. So you've got ag tech and biotech, and then I was talking to another founder that's in clean tech and batteries. They're doing all of their sourcing, all of it, all the manufacturing and sourcing in Wisconsin. I want to just add, you were talking, Alex, about connecting people. I think for anybody reaching out, one thing I'll say, just be aware. What you're going to find in Wisconsin is a lot of very genuine people. And I heard that a year ago from this group in Europe that was talking with a bunch. And at one point, they looked at me and they said, "Do you know everybody in Wisconsin that we've talked to is just so genuine and so helpful? And we're not getting that elsewhere." So beware, when you reach out, you're going to get real people that reach back out to you and have real conversations.
That's great. All right, you've been warned. You've been warned. If you reach out to somebody, you're going to get a human responding. All right. Well, thanks to both of you, and congratulations to both of you on all this amazing work you've done and you will do, and we'll look forward to hearing lots of great new stuff coming down the pike from both of you. So thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
This special episode of How Success Happens is sponsored by the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Whether you're starting a business or have a groundbreaking idea, WEDC is here to support your success. Learn more at wedc.org.